Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And what's going on, everybody? Well, I guess the Gary Cohn resignation was not as big of a deal as everybody wanted to make it out to be. Here you have it. You had the Tuesday night after the announcement. The Spiders dropped about 1.5%. The Dow futures were down about 400, and the S&P was down about 35 points. And lo and behold, by the end of the day, the markets were up on the day. And the Dow wasn't up, but it was certainly recovered. But the S&P was up, and the NASDAQ was up. And there you have it. So, again, we go back to what does it all mean, and where are we going from here? And, again, this is just another sign of a market that is in consolidation, that is trading up and down in crazy levels. And all this is the only difference between now and other consolidation patterns is it's wider, it's bigger, it's faster. But the overall, if you look at the chart, you can see that there's not much going on either way. They run up to a certain level, they come back down to a certain level, and that's really what you kind of see. And I don't see any big deal. And again, this is, goes back to what I always tell you. Screw the news. The news doesn't mean anything. In fact, on Tuesday night, when I was doing my hedging call, I said that was probably a buying opportunity. Right? Because, again, this is the time you could see the panic. You could see what was going on within the markets. And we know that panic never works. Okay? This is one of the things, one of the things that we do. And we know that it just does not work and it does not help you. And that's why you need to be emotionally clear and not involved with letting the news affect you, not letting the outside effects of a market come into play. The markets trade off of the technical analysis of the market. You can take all the fundamental crap and throw it out. All right. Now, again, it doesn't mean that eventually the fundamentals won't play, but why suffer in a position when a news bomb, what we call a fundamental news bomb, hits the tape and the markets collapse or the markets explode? They usually will revert back to at least the mean before making a decision. That's why I consistently warn everybody when we have big moves. And like in the morning on an opening, I say, hey, just relax. Sit back and relax. Don't try to force out yourself out of a market. The worst thing you can ever do is panic. The worst thing you can ever do in any form of money management or money control is to panic. Because when you panic, you invariably will make the wrong decision. And that is something that we have to always focus on, is not making the wrong decision, but at least making a decision that will not affect us nor hurt us. So when you get these giant moves that are happen to be against you, no matter what side of the market you're on, you need to sit back, take a deep breath and say, okay, let me just see what happens and let me set myself up for the next move. And that is something that, I preach all the time, because typically these big moves are meant to be bought or sold, depending on which side of the market we're going to. And that is something that, we have to focus on, because we put ourselves in a position of failure. This is something that has to be resolved within your own mind. All right. Again, it's something that we as traders, we as investors allow too many things to influence our decision, when the decision should be made simply by what the chart, what the market tells us. All right. Again, now let's just review this a minute. Now, when you're looking to make an investment, okay, you want to find things that are fundamentally solid, but you don't want to trade on the fundamental news, because as I have said on a numerous occasions, that the technicals direct the market, the fundamentals will help you. So if you're looking, for example, to build a solid stock portfolio, okay, and you find a spot, okay, then great. But don't just buy or sell because you see news or something that's fundamentally solid, because even if the fundamentals are good, does not mean that we're going to go higher or lower if they're bad. So what you need to do is you need to evaluate and find something that you want to get into. And then once you find that, then you want to put yourself in position, okay, to buy it or sell it based on what the footprint of the market is telling you, not what the news people are telling you, because the news is always wrong. It's kind of like the Federal Reserve, right? Unless you have the news ahead of everybody, which you never will, then it's always wrong. And this is something that you see over and over and over again, which we have seen for a gazillion years, is that the emotions of traders and investors destroy more traders and investors because they simply cannot control themselves. And the emotion always takes over. It goes back to the very simple example I've used on this show many times before, is, have you ever said something to someone that the minute the words came out of your mouth, you wish you could take them back? And I know the answer is 100% yes, because we've all done it. But that's the same as trading. But in trading, you have the opportunity to say to yourself, hey, let me wait. Let me take a deep breath and then make a decision. Don't make a decision on the spur of the moment when you're trying to deal with your portfolio. It does not work. And we're going to talk more about these things today, because I think it's important to understand how the emotion and how the fundamental data does not really mean anything to anyone. And it's more of an event that's created. And that event typically will cost you money, because one bad decision leads into many bad decisions. It's not just a one-off. It's a decision that will create more bad news for you all the way across the board. And I will give you some examples as well. But in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, y'all know that we run a high school program, and we donate it to the high schools throughout the country. And of course, I've been paying for this for 7 years, and I'm now running out of capital to continue to finance this. If you'd like to chip in and help and support my content that I put out, certainly go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And if you do that, I will be happy to give you one free week of my advisory service to show you my appreciation for helping us educate the youth of America. And don't forget to download The Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm. That is my station. And I want you to make sure that you check it out, because there's a lot of other good content there as well. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And so we were talking a little bit about the data and a little bit about Gary Cohn and the resignation. So we've obviously seen that the resignation didn't mean jack diddly. Okay, it was just a bunch of crap-a-rooney, because nobody cares. At the end of the day, nobody cares, right? So when you're looking at your portfolio, and of course, right now, let's use, I know many of you are very interested in gold, and many of you read me at Kitco every day, and I, you know, somebody scoffed at me the other day when I said that I thought that gold was struggling. And they go, well, it's up $15. I said, well, you know, it's up against resistance. It'll probably fail. And of course, it did fail. Again, I'm not a genius. I'm not perfect. But it just, you can just see the way it's trading. It's making lower highs and lower lows in a consolidation pattern, very similar to the markets. So is there a reason for me or you to get involved right now in the gold markets? And the answer would be no, in my opinion. I would rather pay more. Okay, then I was more convinced that it was going to trend higher than to try to figure out and pick the bottom of the market. I think this is one of the problems we all, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody, we try to pick tops and bottoms. But I think when you try to pick tops and bottoms, you actually cost yourself more money. Because, you know, I look at gold, and to me it looks like gold needs to go down and test at like 1240 or 1250 low. Before it's all said and done. Now, I'm not saying that we're going there now. I'm just saying that that would be logical unless it can hold the 1300 like it did last Thursday when it went down to about 1302 or 3 and then held and obviously had a big rally. But, you know, we do have the jobs tomorrow. We've got a lot of things going on. And I don't know that, you know, I'd want to get involved in it here. Again, I'd rather pay more than get chopped up in a consolidation. Now, that's only for people that are trading. If you're investing, then you can always invest if you're going to hold. You know, one of the things that's important is if you're going to invest in something and it's with money that you're not going to need tomorrow, all right, then you can always buy. All right. Because again, we're going to assume that the market is going to go up over time. It may go down short here, but, you know, over time it's going to go higher. So there'd be no reason for me to want to, you know, sell it or get out. And I don't believe in trying to trade your investments. If you're investing, you're investing. And that's it. Don't try to trade those investments. Okay. You want to let the investments work for you and you want to let the trades work for you. Okay. So whatever you're doing, you have to determine, is this an investment or is this a trade? And that's another error that many people make is they turn trades into investments and investments into trades. And that's not the correct thing. So if you're going to invest in gold, I would have no problem buying some gold here. I think it'll be higher, you know, 5 years from now. But if I'm trying to trade it, I think you'll find it a very tough trade in here. Right now, if I were going to trade gold, which I do trade gold, but I would not sell it until probably 1340. I'd buy it, try to buy it at 1300 until it breaks the range. But again, I'd have to use stops and make sure that I didn't get drilled. Okay, because again, that's something that we have to worry about is if the markets continue to move in that direction, then we have to be very careful. All right. So at the end of the day, here we are trying to work ourselves through and understanding that when you invest, you're investing for the long term. So you cannot have a short-term horizon. You cannot let the prices or price movement bother you because it's going to go in both directions either way. So that's the difference. When you're trading, you have to trade. You trade with a much different mentality. However, the one common theme between both trading and investing is this. They both trade off a tactical analysis. Again, you can listen to all the jackasses that tell you fundamentals. Take the fundamentals and stick them where the sun don't shine because, again, they're not going to make the stock or commodity move on a fundamental basis. Again, fundamentally, you can look for, you build the things you want to trade on fundamentals that you want to invest in. But you can't trade off of them, and I always use the example of Apple in 2011 when it had the biggest earnings quarter in the history of the world and the stock took a 50% haircut. Nothing will determine whether where we're going to go because dynamics change and investors change. Okay. I mean, to me, if you look at the overall market right now, we're extremely overvalued. Now, does that make me right? No, it does not make me right. But in my opinion, we are overvalued. In my opinion, we're not talking about any of the things that are important to the balance sheets and to what's going on, which is the number one would be debt. You know, if interest rates are going to continue to be on the rise, does that not make sense that the corporate earnings will change? Does that not make sense that corporate earnings will start to fall? Because if they borrowed money and they were paying, let's say, 2%, and now they're going to pay 3%, does that not cut into the bottom line? And the answer is yes, it does. But we like to ignore these things. We are a big society of kicking the can down the road. So now, all right, you're going to see some change there. If indeed the interest rates keep rising, and of course, I'm a believer that the interest rates are going much higher. Okay, so you have to weigh that in, but that all weighs into fundamental analysis. But because we don't trade, we don't trigger trades on fundamentals. We only find things because of fundamentals. But we trigger trades off of technical analysis. Like, again, if you go back and just go look back at some of your old trades or your old investments, look where you bought them, look where the chart was, and see if you can have found or make a better way. I guarantee you, you will find a better opportunity if you look at it that way instead of always trying to, just look for the solid fundamental parts of the market, because the markets give you many clues as to what it wants to do. The market does leave a solid footprint. The market does leave information for you. And the question is how are you going to interpret that information, all right? Are you going to let your opinion track into that information? Because I think that is one thing that hurts more traders than anything else, is when we allow our opinion to overtake what we're actually seeing. You know, if you're bearish the market right now, okay, then you'd want to wait until we get a rally, you know, probably 2740 in the S&P might be a level. That'd be a level I'd be looking at to take a short position as a trade. But if it goes to 2750, I'm probably going to get it out. And you have to make your trading unemotional. It has to be purely, basically, if you remember when we were kids, color by numbers, it's got to be trade by numbers. Okay, you have to have certain things that are set up, which goes back to a trading plan, which I hope you have. But if you put yourself in the best position, what you're going to find out is that now here we are putting ourselves in a position to be successful based on what we're seeing, not based on our emotional gut feel or a hair on your back that, you know, a little twist that gives you a little, you know, whatever gives you the emotional desire. You have to get away from that. It has to go back to a purely, basically mathematical, geometrical formation of looking at the market. Because again, many of us, and I count myself as one of them, get trapped because we get too emotional about something that has happened. And, you know, again, the easiest proof is just the most recent of the Gary Cohn resignation. Nobody gives a crap. That's the bottom line. The money doesn't care. So that is not what the black swan is. Okay. That, you know, you could have thought it might have been, but it's obviously not the Gary Cohn resignation. All right. But we will come back after the break and talk about what I think will be the Black Swan event. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, LibertyTalk.fm is my station where you can go and download the show every single day, as well as listen to our other content. We've got some great content up there, so go check out LibertyTalk.fm, and don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you for free, no credit card, no nothing, every day. After the close, I send you an update on what I saw, what I expect to see, and what I'm looking for tomorrow. Go to BubbaTrading.com, and there's a little box that'll pop up, and just fill it out, and you get the daily update emailed to you. It's a little 3 to 5 minute video. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here. I'll be right back with more of the Bubba Show after the break. Todd Bubba Horowitz, the Bubba Show.
Fly me to the moon.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Don't let it go. Come on, baby, it's time to ride.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Ron Horshack with no, Bubba Horse with you, and of course Horshack was from a response from Welcome Back Cotter, but it's Welcome Back Bubba. And in the meantime, you know, so we talk about, you know, the different sides of what goes on, and one of the big things that is happening right now is in the oil markets, and here's where I talk about this all the time. This is where the opinion doesn't mean squat. And of course I've got an ongoing battle with my buddy, one of my Twitter guys, and of the same name as myself, and we have a lot of fun bantering back and forth, and we both have a dramatic call on oil. His is much higher, mine is much lower, but in my eyes the technicals don't support do not support what he thinks is going to happen. Okay. So what I say is, well, I can't get too excited if the fundamentals are not matching what they're supposed to be. I mean, again, this is a simple process. Okay. If the fundamentals, if the technicals don't match, well, then I have nothing to do. So the technicals are not matching what the belief is of many. Now, I am not of the belief of that under any circumstances, okay? But certainly I could make a case for much lower because why? Because the fundamentals, that the technicals are giving me more of an inclination that the markets want to go lower. So I'm a big believer that the markets are going lower. All right. And I think that oil is going a lot lower. All right. Now, I don't think it's going a lot lower in one day. I think that this is going to be over a process, over a period of time, that it will start to work its way lower. And I think that you'll see that that is actually how it will trade. I think you saw some of it on Wednesday when oil got clobbered, all right, in the face of, you know, again, all this positive news. But the number one thing that I look at in the oil market from a technical basis is simply the formation of how oil prices itself out in the next couple of years. And oil is much lower over the next couple of years, and that is the backwards formation, hence the name backwardation. All right. So, again, I can listen to all the jokers, and I'm not referring to my guy. I'm talking about like the banks and everybody who says, you know, we're going up, we're going up, we're going up. Remember, those people have an agenda when they're telling you, making these ridiculous calls, because usually they are trying to get to the other side of the call. It's just very simple. This is not my opinion. This is a fact that they're trying to spoof or manipulate the market through the information. And when you've got, when you're in that kind of position and you've got that kind of power, you can get away with that, all right? Because again, you've got a lot of followers. You know, just think about it. You know, you have a follower, so you can actually make a statement which will create your people to do something. And when they do it, then you're all then you can go ahead and get your other side of the position on. And so I'm not telling you anything that's news. It's not a news item, but in my eyes, I can't even see fundamentally why oil should go higher. Okay, technically, it certainly looks like crap, but fundamentally, what fundamentals out there would make me expect oil to go higher? is it the more fuel efficiency we have now? So lowering demand of fossil oil, is it some of the new adventures of electric cars? Is that going to create a bigger demand for oil? I don't see the demand issue, and that's another story. Okay, now that we are no longer dependent on OPEC and the crooks from that region, okay, the phony garbage that continued that held up the United States forever. But again, when oil was $10 or $12, nobody really cared, right? I mean, in my lifetime, the first thing I think that I can really remember people caring about the price of oil was when gas went from, I don't know, about 50 cents to about 90 cents, right? Back in the 70s. But I don't think anybody really cared. You know, now when oil got up to $100 a barrel, then it became a concern, all right? But we don't have that problem anymore. We have, as of today, well over a 200-year supply of oil based on current usage. All right. Now, yeah, we have more population, possibly. But aren't we going to have better fuel efficiency? Aren't there going to be better ways to do things down the road? Have we not gotten better, you know, all the time? So I don't see a reason that oil should go anywhere. I mean, I could certainly see, and please do not take this as a projection or something that I'm stating or calling. I'm not calling. Right now, I'm calling for $58 oil. Okay. I'm actually looking for the 40s, but right now my next target is 58. But forget about that for the moment. I could see 5 years from now, 10 years from now, oil could be at $15 a barrel. Okay. I think that if I were going to take one short in my life, okay, and just stay something that I would just stay short forever, it would be oil. All right. I mean, I wouldn't be short the markets forever because the markets go, we know one thing for sure, the markets go up 8% year over year. So I wouldn't short that. I wouldn't short gold. Okay. So the one commodity that I would short would be oil because I don't see an increasing demand. I see a lessening demand coming forward. I think that we're going to get to better fuel efficiency. I think we're going to get to possibly when the big oil guys figure out how to make their money and control the government in another way, you know, very much like the tobacco companies did. You know, look at how the tobacco companies are prospering. Well, I think the same thing will happen in oil. And then there won't be the demand for oil because then all of these other things that are kind of being locked down and being held back because of big oil, I think you'll see that we can actually work with natural gas. We can actually work with solar, maybe a combination thereof. You know, again, I don't know the fine technicals, you know, in the inner workings or the architecture or, you know, engineering of all this stuff. But, you know, I do know that this country was built on what is known as built-in obsolescence. All right. Now, we all know that there are products out there that have been kiboshed because they're too good. You're too good. Now, think about it. I mean, again, can they make a razor blade that can last forever? I think they probably can't. But of course, that would lower the sales, right? We wouldn't have, again, built-in obsolescence is what we are. That's why products break down, so that we have to replace them so we can continue to stimulate the economy. I'm all for that. I have no problem with built-in obsolescence. Okay. I think that is something that we've had since in the history. And, you know, if you remember, you know, cars at one time, you know, 35 years ago, our American cars didn't have speedometers that went past 100,000. Now they rolled over, but, you know, people didn't keep cars that long. And then, of course, came competition. And in came Toyota and some of the others, and their speedometers had 6 digits on them. So they could go to 999,000. So all of a sudden, we had to make better cars than we were making before. You know, again, it's a simple math formula of what has to happen. So again, I'm a firm believer that, you know, as big oil figures out how to get around this marketplace and create new products and new places where they can make money, okay, to replace what they're going to have to give up when we start to eliminate oil, I think that you're going to see that there will be magically appearing will be some new energy program processes that were always there. It's the same thing as, you know, I always talk about Intel. You know, I believe that Intel's got the next four or five generations in the can waiting, okay, for you to buy what they have now so that they can make you buy something new. I mean, it's a marketing. It's simple. I don't have a problem with it. I think that's fine. I don't mind waiting. I like buying the old technology. The same thing with the flat screen TV sets. You think, remember when they first came out, the plasma sets were, I don't know, $15,000? I just bought six of them for about $1,800 total. Okay. So, again, if you don't mind waiting and letting the technology go, then you're fine. My last example is the Betamax. Well, actually, it wasn't Betamax. It was the VHS machines. I bought my first VHS for $500 used. Thing weighed about 800 pounds. Now you can buy them for, like, popcorn for, you know, $25. So, again, just remember that the way the economy works, and that's why we shouldn't get ever too excited or too involved or too opinionated on one thing or the other. That's why we let the free market system trade for us, okay? And we let those events occur. Then you find yourself in a better position to understand what may be next, which is why we go back to non-emotions. And, of course, when we come back, we're going to talk about the Black Swan event that I am going to officially predict, which I've actually intimated at it many times anyways, but I'm going to officially predict what I believe will be the Black Swan event. And I think it's not, I think it's a lot closer than anybody believes. This is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, I want to remind you to check out my highschoolinvesting.com program. It is something we do for high schools. We put in right now 342, I think, high schools that we're in that we pay for it. And I'm looking for some help from you. And if you help me, I will give you a free week of my advisory service. And all you have to do is go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And of course, don't forget libertytalk.fm and download the show each and every day. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we'll be back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. It is Todd Bubba Horowitz, and what's going on, everybody? Speaking in my evening voice, my cocktail party voice, my orator voice. Anyway, so, you know, I've been talking about this today and the Black Swan. And it, of course, we know, or we should know, especially those on this call, on this radio show, that the Fed will be responsible for the next Black Swan. They've been responsible for every other one. Why would this one be different? But I think this is going to be related to the dollar, right? You know, the dollar is being artificially suppressed because the global interest rate market is you know, what is built and has kept things going. And, you know, with our rates where they are and wanting to go higher, you've noticed that we continue to see pressure on treasury bonds and treasury notes, which is an indication that rates are going higher. But when you look at it, okay, you have to understand that basically rates are in somewhat of a proportion to others around the world. And when global lending is huge, okay? So for you and me here in the United States of America, it doesn't matter what the rates are. They are what they are, and we don't. Our currency doesn't affect it. But when you go out into the other parts of the world, and those people want to borrow from you, okay, they are getting a discount because of the weakened dollar. But I believe that the dollar is getting ready to burst and to really crank it up. I think if we can get through 91 on the dollar index, I think we're off to the moon, because I do believe that the dollar is going back to par. Now, again, and it's not happening tomorrow. All right, this is longer view. But that is going to create, I believe, the global meltdown, very similar to other meltdowns that we've had, because right now the suppression of the dollar, and I it's almost as easy to see as you can imagine, but the central banks and the Federal Reserve are keeping the dollar lower and under pressure because they don't want to create this meltdown. This is something that could have been averted a long time ago. If Uncle Ben Bernanke would have raised the rates back in 13, I believe it was, on that May day when we had the, they called the taper tantrum. You know, you have, the Fed has forced this market into this combustion chamber that we're in right now because they got no stones. They didn't have the balls to raise rates, all right, and let the free market system work. They kept controlling it, allowing strictly the rich to get richer and allowed, you know, the system to work their way. But their way is wrong, all right? Their way is not free. Their way is manipulated, okay? So now they're coming down. They're out of ammo to control the bond market, all right? So now it's coming to the dollar, and the dollar is their last hope to keep these markets under, these interest rate markets under control. And you can obviously see that they're losing control. Now, if you remember, about a year ago, I said that they were going to lose control of the bond market, and they have. The bond market from a 38-year bull market is in a bear market now. Now, I'm telling you, and again, it doesn't mean it's going to be tomorrow, but the dollar is going to be the key. You know, if you remember the National Treasures, Charlotte holds the key or whatever it is. Well, the dollar holds the key, okay? The dollar holds the key to this market, and if they cannot keep the suppression, which I do not believe they will be able to, I do believe the dollar is going to fire up. I do believe the dollar is going to break out, and I think that's going to create the black swan event. Now, again, black swans are fine. Why? Because we just get a buying opportunity. Again, I don't want to buy up here. I mean, I do buy up here because I, you know, dividends reinvest. I do put money, you know, away every month to that just goes into the market automatically. But I don't want to be buying up here. I'd rather be buying lower. And I think the markets will find and suffer that breakdown. You know, and again, when? Who the heck knows? I don't know. You know, I've been looking for this to break down for, you know, I don't know, about 1,000 points in the S&P, I guess. I don't know. But I not 1,000, maybe 10,000, whatever the number is. I mean, I still believe that the S&P is going to go to 1,562 or whatever the hell it was. That's, you know, again, now we're getting farther away from there, but that all that means is the haircut's going to be bigger when it does come, and it's coming. All right, it's a coming. Don't make no mistake about it. This time is not different. The world has not changed. All right, all we have now is more technology and more manipulation and more ways to do things, but nothing has changed from a financial standpoint and from an investing or trading standpoint. That's why the way we open the show up is the way we're going to close it. And that is, if you're investing, great. Don't buy things that you like fundamentally, but buy them for technical reasons, knowing that they could go down tomorrow, but you like them and you're buying them at the right levels so you can hold them. You're not looking. If you're investing, you're not trading. Do not, I repeat, do not put yourself in a trading environment with your investments. Investment is simple. If you're investing for the long term, put the money away, turn off the machine, you know, don't look at your phone. You know, that's one of the issues today is that everybody wants to see every day, every minute, where's my portfolio? Where's my 401k? What the hell does the difference it make? Play the numbers. The markets go up 8% year over year. That's it. Period. End of sentence. Do not try to change that model. That's what the model is. So if you're buying good companies, at good levels, don't look at them. Again, I'm telling you, it just, you will find yourself creating more aggravation and more trouble and more bad decisions by watching. Okay? Put them away. Don't look. Don't look at the individual stocks. Don't look at your account balance because you're going to take a hickey. You're going to take a haircut here soon. Okay? Now, that's why we hedge, so we don't have to take haircuts and hickeys. Okay? But if you don't hedge, just remember, it will come back as it has done. Now, if it doesn't, there's a lot bigger problems. But the Fed is going to be responsible for the next major meltdown. The Fed and the big banking system that continues to create massive amounts of debt. Okay? There is debt in this country, and I'm not talking about the national debt of $20 trillion. I'm talking about just the individual debt, which is a major problem, which nobody wants to talk about. But the dollar will make them want to talk about it. So if the dollar explodes, which I believe that it will, and again, today, tomorrow, next week, who knows? I don't know when, but it will. And if that indeed happens, then it takes all that debt that's out there right now and it multiplies it by itself because of the higher rate that's going to have to be to take to service that debt, which will then create, as I like to say, the black swan, all right, which again goes back to the creator of the black swan will be our friends at the Federal Reserve because they've created every other one. Why would I expect this time to be different? You know, if we could only get in there and audit them and see what the hell's going on in there. But again, that's a story for another day. You know, in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. And I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's always great to be here and sharing time with you. And of course, I want to remind you to get Bubba's daily update. I do Monday through Thursday, I do a daily update. And on the weekends, I do a little show. But it's really to give you what I see in the markets in live time and how you can help prevent and trade them the next day. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com and you can fill out the little box. It's free, no credit card, no nothing. You get the update sent to you right after the market close. And of course, don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. That's a great station. We've got a lot of other content, but make sure you download the Bubba Show. I'm trying to get to my goal of 1 million downloads a month. So make sure you check that out. In the meantime, have a great day. And if you're a basketball fan, a lot of college basketball going on now. We got the tournament starting. And of course, next week is March Madness. In the meantime, have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.